network operators, you know, sort of the usual cascade, and figure out a way to engage some of the people who sort of make it their business to get the word out quickly. And I don't know if there's thinking along that line, but, you know, I would love to participate in helping with that. Or
So we agree with you, and this is also one of the reasons why we, for example, we're running the session at the Internet Governance Forum, not only to inject sort of, from our perspective, clue, but also to spread the word. Jim?
So thank you, Patrick. It just occurs to me, Mikey, listening to you, I mean, you're right, the outreach is an important part of many of the things that we say, and it was good of you to pick up on that and notice it. As Patrick said, we do our part with respect to our recommendations to try to bring them out to a broader community, and so we do have the session at the IGF, but outreach, as it rises in significance, it just strikes me that this is more important for this community to bring here to ICANN, and might make an interesting discussion for the public forum if you wanted to come up and make the same comment that you made here. There's an opportunity. Make that this afternoon. I mean, I know that ICANN takes very seriously its outreach responsibilities, but that, you know, might need a greater visibility and more engagement from a larger part of the community, not just us and not just yourself. I mean, you know the responsibilities that you have that are coming in all of this too.
Lyman.
Thank you. Mikey, are you thinking of something like the DNS operations email list in the ITF context, something that operators and IT people could subscribe to? Because right now the channels that we have are more ICANN flavored channels. They're flavored more from the ICANN push side than they are from the operations staff pull side. And it occurs to me that, you know, maybe something that created a different type of channel, because we do have, you know, from an outreach standpoint, we've got a lot of things saturated. We've got the, you know, the security team at ICANN, you know, putting up blog posts and, you know, writing articles that comment on this. We obviously have the announcements every time an SAC advisory is published. But those have a very specific ICANN flavor to them. And maybe what we need is something that has the other, you know, the opposite, the pull flavor from the ops folks.
Okay, we have a line here. So, Julie, do you want to say? Do you know whether it's related to this? Okay, please.
Okay. This is a question from Rohit Thomas in the chat room. He asks, is there a reason why the ESSAC advisory on name collision risk is so watered down? The recommendations seem to be very bland and not the usual much more specific comments that are usual from the ESSAC.
I think there are multiple answers to that. First of all, we have had a long discussion on Let me start over. It depends a little bit on what one would call like watered down. We don't feel that ESSAC as an advisory committee is the right body that makes specific decisions that we believe should be made as part of the PDP or as part of an open process. We view ourselves more as a group that is doing audit on the current processes, and what we are doing is that we are in the report pointing out four different areas where we think the discussions and the processes can be or should be improved. It is also the case that we in ESSAC are not very good at producing documents when we are in a hurry. To be frank, we are much better writing something actually takes quite some time, and in this case, the ICANN community was moving forward. We were, as everyone know, We have reported NESAC that we're working on the namespace collision issues as a response to a board request that we should look at the issue. While working on that topic, the and I always say the acronym wrongly here, NGPC. Was that right?
NGPC,
yeah. NGPC came out with their decisions, and we felt that it is better for us to incorporate the what we saw in the NGPC document than writing a more generic document about namespace collision, about where we were. Of course, making that adjustment created another kind of sort of watered down document, but on the other hand, we think we believed, and this is why we published the document as it is, that it was more important that we finalized a document that were timely and in this specific context where we are now, and also made the document available before this ICANN meeting instead of working for another month or whatever it would have taken to actually write something more specific, because we think that the real hard decisions must be regarding this topic must be made by the community. Anyone else in ESSAC that would like to say something? Okay. I don't really know whether that answered the question, but that's yeah. Please.
Steve Del Bianco with NetChoice. Following up on SAC 62, it didn't seem watered down. It was timely, and I was so glad that it was thrown into the mix along with the work plan the JAS Advisors is currently embarking on for the purpose of defining the framework. And so I asked you, I believe, Friday or Saturday when we were first here, whether we could merge some of the SAC 062 discussion of trials with the work plan that Jeff Schmidt's already embarking on right now, since it's one bite at the apple to get Jeff to define that. And the question would be, did you guys have some conversations this week? Because when I first discussed it with Jeff, he had no knowledge of SAC 62, and it would be great to see those two come together, and if there's any way we can help from the business constituency, commercial stakeholders group.
Yes, everyone can help here, and this is also one of the reasons why we produced the report and made it available, because, as I said, we believe this discussion should be done in the community. It should also, one thing that is also important to remember is that all of the ESSAC members are volunteers, and we all have day jobs, which means that ESSAC itself can never do any kind of research or any kind of investigations that, for example, the JAS team is now doing, or what was done earlier this year regarding name collision. Those are like work items that ESSAC cannot do. So, before I really answer your question, I just want to sort of, everyone should know that we in ESSAC, we only have enough resources to do this kind of audit and look at how things are done. Now, regarding interaction with the work that now JAS are doing, I have unfortunately personally not had time to sit down with him. I met him. I told him we should talk. We are in contact with each other. We exchanged business cards, but we have not been able to really, not myself, other ESSAC members might have done so, but the intention is absolutely to make sure, and what I told him is that my next thing when I come home is to make sure that in whatever ways it happens that the JAS, that his team understands what we have written in SAC 62, and also from our perspective, of course, we have a long list of references and data that we were looking at when producing SAC 62, that we also ensure that he see all of those things, if you see what I mean. It's not only SAC 62 we think that he should read, it's everything else. So it's a knowledge transfer, general knowledge transfer from us to him. One way that is happening formally is that we do have liaison from staff, ICANN staff, and for example, Francisco was part of the work party that produced this report from ours, and he is also key in the connection with the JAS team. So to some degree, I'm not worried that there is a gap there, but we will do everything we can from our side to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. You made a distinction between research that the SXA doesn't do and frameworks, which I think the SX kind of does do. And the JIS work plan, have you seen the work plan they first published? A lot of disconnects then. Most of what he's producing for ICANN is a framework that will be used to assess each TLD when its turn comes up in the line. And in that respect, there will be research done to feed that, but most of the framework is that structured thinking that's very much in keeping with what SAC does, the structured thinking about whether and how one would do a trial, for instance. And you picked up on the NGPC report from October 4th on collisions. The JIS project is a direct result of that. And I think you're going to find when you look at his work plan, I'll email it to you, that the work plan has places where it should be plugging in the work of the SAC.
Yeah, we have one of the things that when we read the as you see now in SAC 62, specifically regarding trials, this is the reason. Me being the chair of SAC, reading sort of the consensus of the group, is that one of the reasons why we have written so much about trials is that we found that the text about trial and the use of the word trial without really defining it in the NGPC report is something that we were worried about, and that's why trial sort of in general is something that we very quite strongly, I would say, point out that before doing anything that could be viewed as a trial, regardless of how you define it, you need to define it. What do you mean by it? What is the input? How do you prematurely end it? How do you, when you're done with whatever you call is a trial, what kind of conclusions, what are you going to use the data for that you presumably are collecting during the trial? What is the whole process around it? So just saying there should be a trial without really having any context, from our view, this is what we say in the report, is not very useful.
One of the related aspects of this also came up as part of SAC 63, and the related aspect is that of what's often termed breakage. What constitutes breakage needs to be identified in advance, because if things occur that someone somewhere are unhappy with, if you haven't gotten some determination in advance as to what is either the way in which you're going to make a judgment or some determination as to what constitutes a breakage or a problem, there will be a much, much more difficult policy decision that has to be made if you don't have some predetermined criteria that's laid out as part of this.
And that comes back in the SAC 62, also talk about what one would call the most drastic mitigation method there is, which is to remove a TLD from the DNS, which I've been pointing out this week from many people. But what if people are using domain names in that TLD? That's exactly what Russ is talking about. It is such a drastic measure, but probably, one could envision, that if a situation occurs that you really, really, really need to use that very drastic tool, you really need to know what you're doing. It's not, you cannot just sort of like react, so you need to design these kind of things beforehand. Yes.
It's going to be less drastic in the future. There will be, with 1,400 new TLDs, there will be removals from the root that are voluntary on the part of the TLD operator themselves, like a .brand, and there will be zone files that will be orphaned. So let's start talking about how that happens.
Yes, and I think here lies the danger, and this is why it's important to talk about. You just said you use some kind of word that I already forgot, that you said, like, oh, there will be lots of these, and it will not be so dangerous. Remember that for every holder of a domain name, regardless of what TLD it is, having an external party removing the ability to use that domain name, that means that you are removing the ability for a domain name holder to decide himself what persistence that domain name will have. And that in this community, that is a very, 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 very important thing. And that's why it's important for domain name holders to be able to, basically the only thing to get rid of a domain name is by not renewing and not paying. Otherwise, the domain name holder, which is in charge, and it doesn't really matter whether it's a TLD that only managed to get two delegations. For those two domain name holders, it's 100% loss of ability to use the domain name. Yes, only two of them, but for them, it's 100%.
Yeah, unless they have registrations in other TLDs at the same time, and you can't know that. But I'm just suggesting that the removal of a TLD as part of a trial is what you're focusing on in 62, and as you said in 63, but the removal of TLDs unrelated to trials is going to be on ICANN's agenda for the next couple of years, so perhaps it's another thing to put into the work plan.
Yes, but also do not mix up the removal of a TLD and the EBRO process. But there might, but you're right in that it might be the case that there's a connection between the two, and that is also very important to know.
My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm the CSG officer in the BC, and I want to say a couple of things. First of all, how much I appreciate the work that you're doing, because for many of the business constituency participants who come to ICANN, they're not particularly deeply technical, but they are very much aware of the implications of issues that relate to SSR. We focus on security, stability, and resiliency as a key issue in the business constituency. But I'm going to ask you to think about what you're doing and how it can be better understood more broadly. And so it may not be work that you do, but it may be advice that you give to the board and to the staff about how communications about what you do can be broadly spread. If we think that ICANN is not recognized in vast parts of the world, the work you're doing is less recognized, but critical. So what I really appreciated the workshop that you did at the Internet Governance Forum, and I think it was really important to do, I think that the greater impact for you would be to have resources and visibility into the national and regional IGFs, where actually network engineers and people who are going to be affected by this would also begin to learn about your work and then would perhaps be willing to follow some other kind of communication mechanism. So I'm not asking you so much to do something today as to just think about all of these reports are, if they remain invisible to the vast number of new and growing network engineers and young entrepreneurs that are going to be building networks and solutions around the world in developing countries, then we are going to continue to have a big problem. There also are ways of reaching these folks through perhaps the IXPs that are beginning now to build communities of interest in the developing countries, networks of contacts. Not to belabor that, but just to say, as we look ahead, I don't know that you would have thought it was so specific to what you're doing, but it certainly is going to be helpful to ensuring that people can respond to the development of the work you're doing.
Thank you very much for that. I think what you're saying is resonating very much with what we are worried about or what we would like to do more about. This is one of the reasons why, as I started to open the meeting to say that we are trying to do outreach in sort of that direction by meeting with ALAC. We have a very good liaison with ALAC. ALAC have their local sort of network. We are dealing with the fellows to be able to build some of this. The other thing that we are doing, or the third thing we're doing, is that we have been working really, really hard to make sure that ESSAC individuals and members come here to the ICANN meeting and, for example, listen to what you just said, because that is one way for us to also participate in the local IGFs and try to do more outreach.
So I'm going to be clearer.
Please.
I've been told that I'm not being clear enough in a number of settings. Let me be clearer. So ICANN decided that it had almost an unlimited budget to do DNSSEC training. But I don't see the budget being put behind the support for the distribution and elaboration of the work in SSR broadly. That's a point that I continue to bring up in the budget process, and I continue to bring up in the public forum. But when I helped organize a ICT summit in Nigeria called AFICTA, I was able to draw on resources from ICANN to come and do DNSSEC training because that was ICANN's agenda. But I don't have the ability right now, unless this becomes a priority, to draw on the same kind of speaker support or travel support for someone to come. So just think about that, because in many cases you're going to have somebody come and have a little FaceTime the first few times.
Okay, that was clear. And yes, that is received. It's Robert Guerra and myself that participate in the budget discussions, and let's try to coordinate there. Yes, thank you.
I have two follow-up questions from Rohit Thomas related to SAC 62 and his previous question. His first is follow-up to Patrick's answer. Does ESSEC think that the day in the life data is enough to make conclusions, or does more data have to be calculated? And follow-up question two, why does ESSEC recommend undelegation of a TLD even after it has become an established namespace? Surely once a namespace is established, the collision risk is very minimal. If it was not minimal, then existing established namespaces like COM or ORG would have problems all the time. And just for later reference, Rohit Thomas also has two questions related to SAC 60. When you are ready to take those.
So regarding, let's try to remember these kind of things, and Julie, maybe you need to help me to. So regarding the day in the lifetime data, the digital data, more data is always good. We also believe that not only more data, for example, collecting day in the lifetime data, not only over 48 hours, but 96 hours, that is one thing, but there's also data that you might collect by different means, might sometimes give more information. What is important, though, is that when looking at all of this data that is collected, it is very important to know within what context it has been collected. So, that said, regardless of how much data you collect, there will still be a lot of unknowns. And that's why it's important to know what to do. Okay. Next question had to do with... Yes. We need to take one at a time here, sorry.
That's fine. Why does ESSEC recommend undelegation of a TLD even after it has become an established namespace?
Yeah. We don't recommend undelegating a TLD. We're saying that ICANN need to have a policy for that. It might be the case that the policy says that if it is the case that the TLD has been up and running under certain circumstances, the actual effect, the harm is so great compared to the benefit, so it will, in practice, never happen. So it's very important, the report doesn't recommend undelegation of a TLD. We point out that that might be a mitigation method, and it's really important that some kind of framework is written around that mitigation method. So, for example, there are two different... We are sort of saying, given two alternatives here. One, if the TLD is not in use, maybe it is a good mitigation method if it still creates problem. But on the other hand of the scale, it might be the case the harm would be so high so that it's absolutely not the case that the method would be the mitigation method should be used at all. I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Yes, please, Russ.
To the first question about is the day in the life of the internet data sufficient, one of the recommendations in SAC 62 does emphasize the need for a better collection method and establishment of a flexible collection method, so that at least indirectly is another reinforcement of that the day in the life of the internet is not sufficient.
It is just I think it's very good that we have now a little bit of data published on the collisions, specifically for the second level labels. However, that data does not contain any information.
So So I think something happened with the microphone here. Can you speak? Try to speak and see whether it works better.
Is it better now? I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. We do have data now indicating the labels that have been found, the second-level labels that have been found over the last 8 years of DITL data. However, we do not have in the published data any information about the frequency of those labels. In some of the cases, you know, it looks quite evidently like it is by coincidence somebody typed this in a web browser. And I believe we have a great many of them. However, precisely those that have been typed for more or less evident reasons on a web browser happen to be typically famous brand names or important brand names. In the case of city TLDs, they're logically associated with the city. You know, so basically, if you have a brand name associated with Paris, people type this on the browser. Now, if you had at least in the published data the frequencies per year, that would actually be easy to publish. We could get more information from the people who are actually affected by it, and we would have better data, better information in terms of mitigation than if we kept it secret. So I really, you know, appeal to ICANN to publish data that is available rather than keeping it secret if you want to have information about what has to be done.
Yeah, I think all data public. The more, as we say, the more data that is published, the better. I hope that now your request is on the record. Regarding the day in the lifetime data specifically, that is covered under the various data protection rules, laws in the world. For example, the data that we are collecting from iRoot in Sweden, it's kind of sensitive data because IP addresses are classified as personal information and cannot be moved around. But anyone that is a member of OARC can themselves, on the OARC machines, do their own calculations on the collected DITL data. So if it is the case that anyone would like to make more calculations on the DITL data, I recommend you to become OARC members and look at the data yourself, because that includes the specific sort of PCAP files where you can see what's in there.
Yeah, we do that. Well, it's just about a little bit more, namely the frequencies, not the anymore.
Thank you.
Rohit Thomas had a follow-up to your response, Russ, on SAC-62. He says, Mr. Russ's comments that ESSEC thinks that day-in-the-life data is not sufficient, what more should ICANN do to get more data? Will the ESSEC give specific advice to ICANN on this before they allow new TLDs to be allowed into the root?
Let me try to respond to that. ESSEC has not said that day-in-the-lifetime data is not sufficient to draw conclusions. What we are saying is that regardless of how much data or how little data you collect, you will always be able to draw conclusions. But regardless of how much data we collect from various systems, there will always be unknowns. So we are not taking a specific stand there. Russ, do you want to say something more?
Well, just a little bit more, and that is that the recommendations that we, in fact, have made in the past, and I don't remember the precise report, it was in the response to the original scaling studies, were recommending at that time a data collection system, an enhanced over what was there, get defined, get developed, put in place. So this is really a re-recommendation of in this particular context of an earlier recommendation that ESSEC made.
What we are writing in this report is also it is also that you see the recommendation on the screen here that ICANN should consider. It was not here. What we are talking about in the report is that, as Russ said, that the various monitoring capabilities that we have, which is the data collecting and the reporting that is happening after TLDs are delegated, must take these things into account. We in ESSEC are working together with RSAC and regarding what data is collected and available from the live DNS. And Russ is our liaison to RSAC, the Root Server Advisory Committee, and And we do know in SAC that they are working on a few reports regarding this monitoring capability that we in this report point out should also give. We also recommend that kind of monitoring must also take namespace collision issues into account. Please.
There's also a fair amount of information that the route simply doesn't see because of caching and similar things. So if you just look at diddle data and similar things, you don't actually get a very good picture of what the real queries are. So recursive data is also useful.
This is Mikey O'Connor again. If anybody else wants to ask a question, I'm happy to step back,
yeah, we have time. We have time for this question from you, and then one more, and then we need to end because there's another meeting after us. Okay, so let's take those two.
Okay, question one. On the IDN advisory, does ESSAC realize that the CJK panel for integration is not working well? The K community has not yet started their work, and in yesterday's IDN session, we were told that without all of CJK, movement may not be possible on that script. Do ESSAC think that it is better to wait for all communities that use a script to complete work before having variant TLDs, or can the communities that are complete with their work move forward? What is the risk if there are no overlaps, or if one community declares that they can opt out of working with the full community?
And the ESSAC view is that the important thing to be able to move forward is that we have a well-functioning integration panel. Which means that we need to have an integration panel that find that whatever data they get from whatever group, they get the information. Results in a rules for variance in the root zone that they believe is stable and sound and is forward compatible as we explain in the report. And given that the person asking the question have the view that is currently not stable enough or that there are some weaknesses, that is an example of why we think the integration panel's work is so important, that they can make a judgment on whether the input to it is sound or not.
Actually, and that was the only question. Yeah. Thanks.
Ram?
This is Ram Mohan. I'm at the ESSAC. In addition to that, I think our view is that completeness is more important than speed when it comes to the integration panel and the work on IDN variants.
So what we're saying is actually sort of two things. We think that completeness is better than speed, but we also say that the actual decision on completeness, we believe that integration panel is key to make that decision. Okay, Mikey, you get the last question.
It's Mikey again. My voice works better this time. I'm a newly minted GNSO counselor. I've been in the job less than 24 hours. And one of the things that sort of caught my eye is one of the recommendations is that there needs to be policy on the undelegation issue. And I'm just curious from the sort of GNSO perspective, A, whether the GNSO should consider that, and B, if so, how does that happen? This is just a newbie question.
Yeah, I don't think we really say that there should be policy around it, but of course the wording in the document is, the words are chosen very precisely, so please have a look at that. But that might be, of course, one outcome that the GNSO is picking up our recommendation, whatever wording it actually is, and see what they can do to make us feel more comfortable.
So when the SAC speaks to the, I'm being a process guy at the moment. Do you speak to the board and then the board has to ask the GNSO, or can you speak directly to the GNSO?
Our recommendations are sometimes they are very directed to ICANN staff, to the ICANN board, or to the ICANN community. Specifically, I'm looking at RAM a little bit here, which is our liaison to the board, but specifically for ICANN staff, which are things that might have budget implications, then we do recommendations to the board that actually do a resolution that results in the staff doing anything. But we are doing recommendations targeted at the ICANN community as well. RAM, do you want to expand on this?
Thank you. Very quickly, yes, we generally, our recommendations are aimed at the board, and in the board it converts into resolutions that can go through. But the SAC also has the ability to recommend the creation of a PDP or creation of work, and can recommend that the GNSO or CCNSO, other SOACs, work with it. We did that with the IRD. The Internationalized Registration Data Working Group that got initiated by an SAC recommendation. So we do have the ability to do that, but most of our work is aimed at sending to the board, who then passes it as directives to the staff or directives to the various SOACs.
So with that, I declare this SAC meeting at ICANN 48 closed. Can stop recording. Thank you very much for coming.